Texas Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
What's up, lovers? It's me, Damona Hoffman, here to share my insights about love in the modern world with you at home, whether you're single, in a relationship, in a polyamorous relationship. We have the dating advice and relationship advice that you need. I'm sitting here with my co-host, CEO of the Texpert app, Ray Christian.
Hello, co-host.
Hello. How you doing today?
Good morning. It's a beautiful day here in Tinseltown.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is. Had a little construction situation.
How you
but
feeling?
It's all right. I got my... Oh, not that. People are going to think I had plastic surgery if you talk like that.
I thought you were talking body construction.
Believe me, if I have plastic surgery, you guys will be the first to know.
Your face looks awesome.
I did not have surgery on my face, but thank you. No, I did have a little procedure, but I'm coming back to life. I've been watching a lot of the telly and getting caught up on the things.
Sometimes that's nice. Get your pop culture game popping.
Yeah, I realized I asked my friends on Facebook. I was like, what should I be watching? Because I don't watch that much TV now that I have kids. And I realized I actually watch more TV than I thought I did.
We all think we watch way less than we actually do.
I was more caught up than I thought. But I've been hooked into 13 Reasons Why, which is not an upper, but interesting in terms of study into human relationships in the high school setting. Wouldn't you agree, Producer Thomas?
I would agree, but I've heard it's also quite controversial due to its depictions of some unsettling themes.
You mean teen suicide?
Yes.
Oh. I feel like people are constantly in search of a controversy.
Speaking of teen angst, have you seen Stranger Things? I'm behind on this, but have you seen Stranger Things?
Welcome to last summer, Ray.
Well, it's Netflix, though. It's
I guess
you
it was
get
fall,
to it when
right?
you get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I know. No, I watched the first episode. It didn't grab me. Interestingly, because I'm like a real paranormal person.
Yeah.
But see, for me, the bar is very, very, it's very, I won't even say high, it's very specific. And if you don't fit into my view of the paranormal world, we just can't play. Mm-hmm.
You're a paranormal snob.
I'm totally a paranormal slob. I'm a paranormal slob as well.
Go snob.
I was a total paranormal slob yesterday, sitting on the couch watching Netflix. But I'm back. Back in the studio and back to answer your questions about modern romance. We have a lot to talk about this week. We're going to ask if polyamory may be right for you. We have some news on how artificial intelligence, AI, could save your relationship. And we'll be talking about a ruling from the Queen of England about, please do not make fun of my British accent. I did study theater and I'm pretty good at the British accent, but I'm not going to do it. Because I don't want to have judgment from you people. You people. But the Queen of England may be impacting your sex life. I swear to you. I swear on the Queen's life that she has issued a new ruling that you're going to want to know about in a little bit. We also have your questions that you've posted on the Texpert app. The most provocative, the most interesting, the most salacious, provocative questions we'll be talking about. Plus, we're going to do a deep dive love expose with Damona and Ray. We'll be talking about when is the right time to have sex in a new relationship. All that and more on today's Dates and Mates. But first, let's dish.
D's dating dish.
Polyamory. It seems to be all anybody's talking about these days, isn't it?
Well, when you open it up with saying the word seven times in a row, yeah, it kind of does feel like that.
You're not so good at counting. I thought you used to be like a finance person.
Carry the one, 11-teen. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, in my world, it's all the rage. And it's been a bit of a controversial subject for a while. But when it comes to modern dating, in recent years, a lot of people are talking about it and having more awareness. Like, there are a lot of people that were having polyamorous relationships that you just didn't know what was going on. So there was an article this week in Your Tango by a blogger named Sexy Lexi. And it's about her experience being in a polyamorous relationship. She's also she has a podcast called Life on the Swing Set. And
okay,
yeah,
good name.
It is, isn't it?
Apropos.
Well, yeah. I mean, yes and no, because here's the thing. Polyamory actually can mean a lot of different things. So for Lexi, what it means is she is in a committed relationship with two people. And she's like, basically, I'll just tell you about the article. This is the gist of the article. It's not all that different. So she's in a relationship. She now just has double trouble. So when one person's mad at her, like two people are mad at her, now she has to have two conversations. But then she gets to have sex with two people, I guess. So it's interesting. Life on the Swing Set is the title of her podcast, because swinging is a whole other thing. And that's having consensual, non-monogamous, sexual relationships with people who are not your partner. But that's not the same as being in a relationship. That's more of a sexual fluidity.
Unless she's saying she's on the swing set, she's swinging both ways because she's dating men and women. That would be swing set.
She doesn't reveal related. In this article. I haven't studied the podcast. She does not reveal in this article the genders of her partners. But what she does say is that basically, it's the same as all relationships. And communication is really at the foundation of making it work. And I would imagine being in a triad, you really have to communicate. Because now, you know, it's like, you know, being on the playground when you were playing with one friend, everything was cool. But then the third friend came and it was like, oh, it's kind of weird now. Actually, that happens in 13 Reasons. I basically am living my life through the prism of 13 Reasons. Go on.
Finish the thought. No. I think this article, first of all, sexy Lexi, come on. Like, just own it. If you're doing this, if you want to get the word out, I don't like when people ghost write and ghost meme and all. Like, just own your work.
I didn't know that was a thing.
But I think there was kind of a missed opportunity, because I was, when I read the headline, I was like, ooh, wee, I can't wait. Let's see what this is all about. And instead, she's like, it's just like you guys. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm very curious. Like, what is it really like? Like, what is the, are you having like double the sex? Is there like sexual jealousy? Like, if I came home and you guys boned without me, like, you didn't even tell me? Like, what's going on? Is there like some etiquette? Is there a score of like sexual relations?
I don't know. And I agree with that about this article. There was a really interesting show on Showtime a couple of years ago. Wish I remembered the title of it. But it was about polyamorous relationships. Does anyone know the name?
You mean HBO? Like, on something show? Love?
Showtime. No.
That one's about Mormons, I think.
Big Love. Yeah.
No. We're not talking about Mormons. We're talking about these people who were in polyamorous relationships. And most of the people in that show, they were not necessarily in relationships where they were with the two partners at the same time. Like, it was more of an open relationship where they all lived together. And so one person would have one partner and then also be in a partnership with the other partner who lived at home. But those two partners were not necessarily in a relationship with each other. But that was that show. I don't know. I think the point of this is you just do what you want to do. And now everything's okay. But maybe she's writing under a pseudonym because it's still not accepted. And I don't know. Maybe they have kids. She said one of the reasons she wanted to be in this polyamorous relationship is she wanted to form a family. And so she's finding a family in with these other people. But she might also have kids. She didn't reveal that. And I think if you do have kids and you're in a situation like that, you're also exposing them to scrutiny. So I'm not mad that she didn't reveal her identity. I am mad that she didn't reveal any of the juicy details, though.
I mean, as a guy, I can't fathom a universe where I would have another dude in the mix. Like, that is just a no from me, dog. But I think, but you know, it's almost like in theory, it sounds better than it actually is. Because then, if I have a second woman, I'm like, well, that's another woman that I have to like attend to and keep happy and know every single story that's in her life and give her attention.
It's a lot.
It does seem like a lot.
But what if, Ray, what if there was an app that could help you navigate the challenges of the emotional ups and downs of a relationship? I know you're a tech guy, so this next story is for you. This is coming to us from NBC News. And it turns out that in the near future, you might actually have technology in a wearable app that could help you detect what your girlfriend or wife, I know you're not necessarily into the marriage idea. But if you were,
that's
you could
not true.
You said not necessary. Oh my God, we're going to play back the tape.
I'm just
what
not
is happening?
Sold. I'm just not sold.
You're just
yet.
Not sold. Okay.
I'm open to
well,
it.
We don't know what the future holds for you, but this technology may exist because what they're doing right now at the University of Southern California is they've created this algorithm and this technology that tracks these partners' emotional states and their mood shifts so that you can kind of, you should know, is this a good time to talk about money or is this a good time to suggest that we take this big vacation or is this something that's going to make my partner totally freak out? Or even simple things like it tracks when your partner's last eaten. I thought this was the most interesting part of the article because my husband, he's one of those forgets to eat kind of people and he gets real hangry when he does forget to eat. I've never forgotten to eat. Like it's never like, oh, suddenly I forgot. So it would be helpful to know before, you know, if he blows up because he's hungry, I could just look at the app and be like, honey, you need to eat. I see from the app that you're just a little bit hangry.
And don't bring up any touchy subjects
no
when
touchy
they're in that
subjects.
State. I love this idea. We're doing some similar stuff actually with Textpert and our AI, but this is a fantastic idea. I would love to know to don't bring up this touchy subject because my lady is she's on the brink of a meltdown. That'd be nice to know. I would love that.
Yeah. I just wish we didn't need all this technology to tell us the things that we use to intuitively know. But yeah. One thing that we also should know, but we're not learning enough of, you know, I got up on my high horse about sex ed in schools. I guess I just need to hop over the pond because the Queen of England agrees with me. Basically, we're like this, me and the Queen, because she has given royal assent to a law that makes sex and relationship education mandatory in schools. Now, of course, people can't let a good thing just be. So they are now saying, well, it doesn't require the sex ed to be LGBT inclusive. So now there's a whole movement about that. But I think this article that came to us from pinknews.co.uk missed the point in that somebody in another country does think it's important to educate children and young adults about sex. And I think that's something that's completely lost on this country at this point.
Well, that's why we have the love expose with Damona and Ray later.
Okay, well, we're going to we'll do a deep dive on that. Oh, that was not no innuendo intended. So we're going to take a short break. But by the way, I just wanted to come to our frequent listeners, our fans that have been following the show for a while. Have you noticed that you can get access to all 160 episodes of Dates and Mates absolutely free on iTunes or iHeartRadio or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker? And we want to keep it that way. But to do that, we need your support. We need you to support our sponsors. We need you to visit datesandmates.com, get on my mailing list, and get access to my program. We need you to download the Textpert app and tell a friend. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll tell you about a sponsor that you can support today. And then we'll be right back with Technically Dating.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT18 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping, when you enter offer code GIFT18. That's GIFT18 at AdamandEve.com.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona Hoffman, here with Ray Christian, CEO of the Textpert app. Oh, I love it when you go journeying through the Textpert app and find the best, the brightest, the most provocative questions for us to answer. Let's make modern love simple today. Hmm?
Let's do it.
Technically Dating.
All right, Damona, we're coming in hot. We got a question from a young lady from Manchester, in the UK, speaking of the Queen, she says, just started going out with this boy. He is so lovely. Absolutely love him. However, for the time being, he wants to keep it quiet and not tell anyone about us so we can have some peace and some quote-unquote us time. What to do?
I wish I knew exactly how much time, because I think there is a window where he's still figuring it out, like figuring out if you're going to be around for a while. It is definitely not about the us time, because that's just total BS. That's a line that guys use, which means that they're not ready to tell people about you. But that doesn't mean that the relationship is all lost. It just means that they're still in the figuring it out phase. Now, if they're still in the figuring it out phase 3 or 4 months in, you may have a problem on your hands and you may need to do a little Instagram sleuthing. But if this is legitimately in the early phase, the first 4 to 8 weeks, just chill and figure it out. Because I know you feel like he's really lovely, but if you're really in the beginning phase, you don't know him either. So you need to figure out if he is worthy of you telling your friends about him.
Like the great philosopher Ron Burgundy once said, when you're into someone, you want to shout it from on top of a mountain. And like, that's kind of how it is. When you're into someone, you're not trying to like hide it and keep it under wraps and wait for the right time to unleash it. Like, that's just, it's BS. He's probably got some side pieces that he's twerking with. And I think that's the real issue here, is he doesn't want to blow up the spot. And he's saying, oh, babe, yeah, it's us time. Like, us time is like, that's why you don't have kids really quickly. So you can have some us time. Us time is not about being overt about your relationship. I agree. BS. And what she should do is say, you know what, I'm kind of not into like secrets and hiding stuff, and if you're not really into being open and very candorous about your love life with your friends and other people, then I might not be the right person for you. And just let that sit.
Ooh, burn. But don't you feel, Ray, like there are some times where the ladies want to just push it too fast into the public eye, and then they're like sending you, you know, Facebook, like friending you on Facebook and like commenting on all your Instagram, and they want to like change their relationship status. And I mean, you just had dinner twice and suddenly now she wants to be your girlfriend.
It's almost like once you've been exclusive, all bets are off. Once you're exclusive, if she wants to be in a relationship with you on Facebook, fine. If she wants to start posting about you on Instagram, fine. Before the exclusive part, yeah, I kind of agree. You don't blast it on social media.
Right.
It's the exclusive line.
Good. I like that.
So the next question is from a young lady. She's 18, and her username, I like it, is Agreeable Dotterelle. I don't really know what that means, but I like it. She says, I think my boyfriend is cheating on me, but I don't know how to confront him. What do I do? By the way, I need to confront him over text because I'm really shy. IRL.
Oh, my God. Ray.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I know. But if you're really in a relationship, you should be able to communicate with your partner. This is the textbook example of not the conversation you want to have over text. People are always asking me, like, should I do this over text? Like, I don't know. What do I say? Don't have a text conversation about something like this, because you're going to come at him hurling insults and accusations, and he's going to get defensive, and it's just going to blow up in your face. I understand being shy, but if this isn't a relationship you really want to invest in, you have to be comfortable enough to share your hopes, your dreams, your concerns with your partner. And if you cannot do that, then you should not be in this relationship, for sure. Not to be definitive or anything.
The I think he's cheating or she's cheating on me is one of the toughest questions, to be honest. I've studied a lot of the art and science of body language, and the experts, the smartest people in the world on body language, cannot agree on when someone is lying. Even they say it's very difficult to tell when someone's actually lying with any certainty.
I thought it was like if you look up and to the left, right?
There's lying. Something like that, but even that can be manipulated. The best way, they said, is find out with a conversation flow? What's the baseline of body language movements and subtleties? So they're scratching their tummy, they're sitting a certain way. And then if you can quickly pivot to the touchy subject that you have, and then notice the change in body language. Is it a marked change in body language? But even that's just, it's smoke. It's not the fire. You don't really know. But you can go to him and say, look, I, for some reason, I'm having concerns that maybe you haven't been faithful. And I don't know if it's justified or not, but it's something I need to explore. Just like let it sit and let him, give him rope to hang himself. But even then, you never really know. I think to your point, if you can't trust someone and you're thinking that they're cheating, either they are, or maybe you're just not in a healthy enough relationship right now. Maybe you're not ready. So probably get.
Yeah, I think it's beyond not trusting. It's they're not even communicating because she can't even have a conversation with him face to face.
Yeah.
She's shy with her boyfriend. She has to text him how she feels. Like, get out of here.
It's weak.
Let's talk to
each
other.
I hate when people like send me notes, like dramatic notes. Like, you can't tell me in person, like a real adult. It's one of my pet peeves.
Jeez.
All right, moving along. Young lady, 22, just got out of a 5-year relationship and don't know what to do. It's really scary.
Ray, to be 22 and single in the world, this is the best time of your life, lady. You should be thanking your lucky stars that you didn't end up marrying this guy that you didn't really want to be with. You've been with him for 5 years of your life, and now you're free? Go live your life. I'm so excited for her.
You want her to go have some sexy time.
Yes. I want her to use Tinder. I want her to go and just explore. I want her to experiment with polyamory. I want her to do whatever she feels like doing for like 5 years and then get her stuff together and figure out what she really wants.
It's funny. Like as we got into our 30s, or if, at least for me, it's like when I start looking back at people in their 20s, I'm like, the only advice I have to tell any of them is like, just have fun. Just go do a bunch of stuff. Be safe, but have fun. Because, like, there's no reason to worry about getting married and settling down before, like, 28, in my opinion. But I agree. Get out there. Date. Go Tinder. Go Bumble. Go hook up. Have a one-night stand. Go make some mistakes. Be safe, but, you know, go.
Yes, please be safe.
Go screw some things up.
Please use a condom.
Go get a little cray.
We've talked about this. But definitely go get a little cray. But be kind of safe. Use the buddy system or something.
Speaking of being safe, this young lady is 18. She says, I told my boyfriend that I'm bisexual, and now he doesn't trust me around the ladies. What ought I do?
I don't know. I feel like you made your bisexual bed, and now you must lie in it. I mean, okay. So let's take the gender preference out of it. What if your girlfriend said to you, you know, I'm attracted to other guys? How secure would you feel in that relationship at that point in time?
Well, I'd be like, well, thanks, Captain Obvious. You're dating me. I'm pretty sure you're attracted to guys.
No,
thanks for the reminder, though.
But like, what if she's like, I'm attracted to other guys? I'm not going to do anything about it, but I'm just attracted to like your neighbor and like this random dude at the grocery store. I'm just attracted to guys.
Okay, but I think that's a little bit of a false equivalency because that's not like a thing to announce. When you're bisexual, if that's like a thing that you want to get off your chest,
I know,
to be honest.
This is like a hypothetical conversation because by saying, hey, I'm bisexual, if you've chosen to be in a monogamous relationship, I honestly believe that is really irrelevant unless you are intending to act upon it. So by saying, yes, that was just a hypothetical, but by saying I'm attracted to other guys, like I'm not going to do anything about it, but I just want you to know I'm attracted to the other guys. I think that to me, that's the equivalent of saying, just so you know, I'm bisexual. I mean, I'm with you, but you just should know I'm bisexual. And I think it's different than saying like I've been in relationships with women in the past and I thought you should know that. Saying I'm bisexual makes it seem like I kind of want to explore other options or I'm attracted to other people. I'm attracted to my female friends. But, you know, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm with you. Just wanted you to know that my eyes are wandering.
Yeah, that all makes sense. It's a little bit crazy. I mean, the correct answer when your girl tells you that she's into women is, oh, yeah, what kind of women? Like that one over there or this one over here? Like, tell me more. Because, like, why not?
Then you're going to get yourself in that very confusing polyamorous triangle, and you're going to have to remember all of those things about all of those girls and cater to all their emotional needs. This is a slippery slope.
This reminds me of the Mike Pence article where it's like he can't be in a room with a girl without a chaperone. Like, because God forbid if he is, they'll just trip and fall, the next thing, coitus. But, like, ultimately, if he can't trust her around women, like, aren't there other guys on the earth that she's probably interacting with occasionally? He sounds like he's just a weak, low-T gentleman. And I say, tell him to go. He gots to go. We gots to go to a new question. This one, ooh, this is a good one. This is from a young lady in Hackney in the UK. Oh, I want to know what's going on in Hackney. When is the right age to lose your virginity?
I love these questions of absolutes. Like, there's one answer for all people. I don't think there is a right age. I think it's whatever age is right for you. I think it should not be below 16. I don't think you don't know anything. At 16, like, really, you don't know how your body works. You don't know what you like. You don't know enough about safe sex. Obviously, these people have no idea about ovulation and how people get pregnant, how women get pregnant. So I just think once you're 16, I think you figure out the right time of when you are able to emotionally deal with the pros and cons of a sexual relationship.
So your answer is just not less than 16.
That is my answer.
I wonder if it's illegal. Is it illegal for a certain age to have sex, even if it's like the same age? Or it's just the
I don't believe
age
so.
Gap that causes it?
I don't know. Producer Tom illegality. Is going to have to do some fast research. But I think if the other person is under 18, I don't think that there is a minimum age. But okay. But Producer Thomas will research that and get back to us in just a moment. I love it when you throw us curveball
questions. Yeah, just Google sex and virgin and see what comes up. I'm sure it'll be some really thoughtful publication from a local college.
And I wonder what other ads are going to get shown in the next couple of days. Your girlfriend's going to be like, what have you been doing, Thomas? I don't know if that's what she sounds like, but that's what she sounds like now.
I think that I'm actually close to your answer. I think there is a range. I think the exact age is probably not wise, but I think between 15 and 20 is one ought to lose their virginity. After 20, it becomes this weird thing. It's like a hang up and you're waiting for the perfect person. It's too much. You just let it out. And then before 15, I would say it's a little bit too murky with teens and stuff. But I would say the average kid is probably losing their virginity between like 15 and 18. But I think between 15 and 20 is an appropriate time, I think, to lose one's virginity.
I think I was older than 20.
Damn. You were?
I don't remember.
That explains a few things.
I think I was 21.
Oh, crazy town.
I was either 20 or 21, I think.
Really?
I think so. But honestly, my feeling was just like, I don't need to. It's not a goal to be reached. And it's like, it does kind of get to that point where it's like, well, I don't want it to be too special, but I don't want it to be like, you know, I don't want it to be like this guy. So you kind of have to find that happy medium. I don't know. So I don't know. I mean, I think it could be later. I think, you know, 30 might be a little much. But I'm Producer Thomas says verge till merge, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, after the intensive research I've just done, it would appear as if there is no legal established law about, like, if you're both under 18, like, what if it's illegal to lose your virginity at a certain age? So it all depends on how old the person you're having sex with is. Mm-hmm. Is what the law
as long
looks
as it's
for.
Consensual.
Yeah.
In related news, Thomas's computer has flagged a DEA response.
Right. Yeah. I expect President Trump himself will be at my doorstep as I return home.
Oh, good, because maybe then he can't push this Trump care bill through. Sorry, got political. Why don't we move on to another question?
We shall. All right. So my boyfriend went through my phone. She's 23 years old, by the way. When I wasn't looking and won't admit to it. Eye roll emoji. I feel like he violated our trust. How should I move forward when he won't admit to it?
First of all, I love the eye roll emoji. I think it's one of the most underutilized and effective emojis in the lexicon of emojis.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
The problem is this indicates a lack of trust on both sides to me. Because I don't know. I feel like, I don't know how she knew that he was doing that. Unless she was kind of snooping on him, snooping on her.
Oh, it was because I read this little postscript. She said that I saw that my phone was on lock and I saw a bunch of messages. And the only way to clear those messages is if you go in and open the phone. And after she left the phone in there, there was a bunch of previewed messages that she hadn't viewed. She left, came back, and they were all gone, meaning he went in.
Yeah. I don't think this is the biggest deal. If you're not hiding something, I think it's okay. I mean, like, my husband and I have each other's passwords to everything. I'm not going in there because I trust him. But should I need to go in there, I'll go in there. It's just, you know, if you have a relationship that's transparent and honest, I don't think you'd be so worried about these things. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think? Maybe I'm wrong about that. This may be the first time I've ever said maybe I'm wrong.
She's I'm gonna take advantage. You are wrong. No, I'm kidding. I think you're right. Like,
oh, thank you. If, for the record, I was still right.
If we, like, my girlfriend knows my password and
already, that's pretty soon.
She's currently lobbying to get a fingerprint on the fingerprint register so she can get into my.
No way! So she can do it fast. What is
bridge?
This guy
I'm not,
up to?
Not sure if I'm ready to cross. I'm definitely willing to give my dog my password fingerprint, but I don't know about. Maybe I will, but I agree. Like, I'll pass her my phone. We'll play on Sonos or playlists, and I'll show her something. Like, I don't care because I don't have shit to hide. To be honest, if you do have stuff to hide, yeah, that would be sketchy, but. If I found out she was like grabbing it and like poking through my emails or like going through my texts, even though there's nothing that I have to hide, that would feel, it'd be a low T thing. I would lose a significant amount of attractiveness to her. Cause I said, well, what's wrong with you? What kind of weakness is there where you like need to poke around, and how insecure are you that you need to like snoop around?
Okay. Let's give some useful advice to this 23-year-old from Arizona. Like, what can she do now that she knows it? She wants to know, how can I move forward? Like, what? How does she approach this with her boyfriend? Should she just ignore it? Or should she say something? Is there a way that she can say something in a non-confrontational way?
I don't think there's a way to say it in a non-confrontational way. I think there is a way to say it tactfully, but also have it being a little bit confrontational, such as, I would say, you went through my phone. I know it. It's a fact. I can see it. And I'm kind of hurt by that. And it feels like you violated my trust. Feels like maybe there's some insecurity here. And like, ultimately, I'm one that doesn't hold grudges and I'm willing to move past things. And there are mistakes that are made. But just know, if this happens again, we're going to have massive problems. And it will probably include the end of our relationship.
That's intense, right? That's pretty confrontational. I think there's a lighter way she can say it, because I feel like when even saying like there's some insecurity, that's to me placing blame on him, because we don't know what she did. She might have done something that caused him to be insecure. So I would kind of own, like, is there something that I've done that has made you feel like you can't trust me?
Mm. That's a good, that's the best end to that phrase.
Yeah. And then shut your mouth. This is the biggest thing I'm trying to teach people, is like, when you're trying to get an answer from your partner and you're trying to communicate with them, especially women, don't railroad the conversation. Make a statement, a question, and then listen. And
you
see
heard
what
it
you
here
hear.
First, ladies. Damona says, shut your mouth.
Because we're too busy trying to create our desired outcome. And we can't listen to the other person and accept their point of view if we're trying to force through our point of view.
And sometimes just giving up, give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves.
Oh, yeah, I like that. You said that last time. I like that, the give them enough rope theory. That's good.
Speaking of giving someone something, we have a young lady. She's 25. And she says, what's your take on using someone as a rebound?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of using people, you know. I mean, I think your answer is in the question. I love it how people answer their own questions within the way they phrase their question. I think having a rebound isn't a problem, but I don't agree with using people for your own evil schemes.
Nefarious purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think even thinking of it as using someone as a rebound is so disrespectful to that person, right?
I'm gonna disagree on this one. I think it's okay. I think as long as it's consensual, as long as you're not putting a gun to anybody's head, you know, maybe you're in this part of your life where you're willing to give this guy or girl, this guy, maybe a month of your attention. And you know what? That month of your attention is probably gonna be fun. It's probably going to be a learning experience for him. And it's a value add, and it's a data point for both of you. And if it helps both of you for this month, even though you know it's going to end, is that the worst thing in the world? As long as you're not exclusive, I say no.
See, but we're in agreement. I said I don't have a problem with having a rebound relationship. I have a problem with using people. So in the scenario you just described, it seems to be a mutually beneficial sexual relationship.
But isn't that splitting hairs a little bit? Because, like, using someone is making them your rebound, cognizant of that situation, making them your rebound. Isn't that kind of like using them a little bit?
I just think words are very powerful in how you frame it. And I think thinking of using anyone for any purpose is a disrespect.
Well, as the great philosopher Bill Withers said, if it feels this good getting used, use me up.
Sometimes. You have all of the quotes today.
So we have another young lady. She's 18 from Trinidad and Tobago, the old TNT. She says, okay, I met this guy a couple weeks ago, and I really, really fell in love with him. So he took me to a big party, and we ended up having the sex. But after that, he hasn't talked to me since. Unsure emoji. What do I do? Do I try to get him back or move on?
Let's just clarify from the beginning. You met this guy a couple weeks ago, and you really, really fell in love with him.
Well, what about love at first sight?
No, I don't believe in love at first sight. This is a complete myth. You did not fall in love with him. You got used in that situation, and he's not calling you back. He's not talking to you because he wants you to move on. He doesn't want to be in a relationship with you. Unfortunately, in this case, she really misread the situation. This is another example of imposing your views on the other person's actions. She thought she was really in love. He thought this is a really good hookup for the summer, and I guess it's spring. And it's over.
You know, for what it's worth,
yeah, he got what he needed.
I had co-host love at first sight when we first met, so I'm a little hurt. She has two options. She can actually, she has one option. Just lay back and wait. Do not hit him up. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just lay back and wait. If he's into you, he will hit you up. Done.
Have you been stalking my phone, Ray?
What day?
I've been playing Monopoly with my daughter. And I feel like you maybe took my phone and you looked in my Amazon list and saw what I bought. And I feel really violated now. I'm totally joking. But it's funny that it's like in the zeitgeist.
It is.
We're connected. I'm connected with you two at home as well, and I want to connect with you on Instagram, so you can follow me, message me, you know, send me a pic, so whatever, like my posts at Damona Hoffman. You can also follow Ray at RayChristian_LA and Textbert at Textbert_app. There's more dates and mates coming up, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-900-8195 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-900-8195 to take your call now. Call 800-900-8195. That's 800-900-8195. Again, 800-900-8195.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. We are having too much fun here in the studio, and we have so much more Dates and Mates for you. So, Ray, you know, we like to do this this deep dive every once in a while on a particular topic, and you brought up this topic.
My favorite topic.
Is this your favorite topic?
The sex? Who doesn't like the sex?
You and this polyamorous sexy Lexi should hang out. But we wanted to do a deep dive today on when to have sex when you're in a new relationship. This is a question I get asked a lot. And I'm sure on the Textbird app, this is always popping. Do we want to do a music cue, or is this you guys don't like it?
Okay.
Oh my god!
The one that gets the people going.
I like
All right,
it,
let's do
but
it. Let's
I don't know.
Pumped.
Okay,
let's get pumped up.
All right. Love Exposé with Damona and Ray.
Okay, I think we need to redo that one.
That's kind of fun.
I told you it was going to be fun.
We could polish
it. Just let it happen, guys. Just let it happen. You'll like it in the end.
Just, if I may, I think a little Barry White kind of intro. It's like the Love Exposé.
Oh,
we'll try that.
That could also work, yeah. Hmm.
We'll try that.
A work in progress.
Week.
I mean, that's like an African tribal dance, it sounds like.
A little bit.
I was going for more of like the news, hard-hitting news angle.
Okay.
I think it gets the blood pumping. Perhaps they could vote. On Twitter or
Why,
Instagram.
Thank you, Producer Thomas. Tell us if you prefer a little Barry White version. You can tweet me at Damona Hoffman and say Barry White, hashtag Barry White, intro, love expose. Or if you like the tribal drums, hashtag tribal drums.
We give the people what they want.
Okay, so I know you love to talk about the sex, so let's get into this. So, I mean, some questions for us to think about. I think we've established already that the ideal age to begin having sex is somewhere between 15 and 21, right?
Even that probably chaps a few people. I bet there's people, some people at home that say 15, 16, and gasp in astonishment.
I think 15 is young.
But 16 is cool?
But 16 is all right.
Okay.
Because then you can drive. You can... What else can you do at 16? Pretty much nothing.
You can drive away from the girl after you're...
You can't smoke. You can't drink. But you can kill someone in a vehicle. Great. You could. So we're talking about in a new relationship. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily the first time you have sex, but the first time you have sex with your new partner. So is there a list of criteria? Are there certain questions that you should ask? Or do you subscribe to the just when it happens sort of mantra?
So maybe we can break this down into two components. The one is the too soon to do it. And I think the oft ignored component of it is the too late. And let's tackle the first one, I think, first, too soon. And my answer is very simple. There's no such thing as too soon except for the first date. Do not do the no pants dance on the first date. Any other date, I think you're okay.
Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Indeed.
Is there a range? Can you do certain fooling around without actually having sex on the first date and still be in the green zone?
Are you talking about like, well, are we talking about the old, you know, backdoor entry? Because I don't think that's cool. On the first date. That's too much.
Where's your mind, Ray?
You said other things. Were you holding hands? Is that what
kissing?
You were talking about?
Oh my God. First base, second base. You were like running out of the ballpark, like going in the back door of the ballpark and whatnot. I'm talking about first and second base.
Sandlot playing in the dirt.
Oh my God.
I think. Well, but you said other stuff. That is like a known other thing now.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like maintaining your hymen by having anal sex. I just had to fill people in on what we're really talking about in case My mother's listening, I think, and she might not know what you're talking about, so I had to clarify for her.
I think, you know, on a first date, it's probably not advisable, but a little fellache, a little cunny, you can work through it. You can get past it. It's not advisable, but definitely no sex on the first date if you want a long-lasting relationship. What say you? Can you round third and get the stop sign at third on the first date? Third base.
Look, I definitely, with my clients, I have I was going to say a hard and fast rule, but that's just, God, the innuendo on this show. I am pretty clear that sex on the first date, if you want a relationship to develop. Now, if you're just in a, let's say you're that newly single 22-year-old, then, I think all bets are off. But that part aside, I think if
because we don't want her getting in a relationship, right? We don't want her. She just got out of a fight.
No, I mean, she might fall into a relationship, and that's fine, too.
Okay.
But I think she shouldn't be as precious about it. But I'll get into the second part later of how to determine if you think this is someone that has relationship potential or not. And that sometimes will sway your decision. But if you want the relationship to progress, I do think there's a line. And in my personal experience, personally, I think kissing is kind of the line. And for me, any time that I went any further than that, things did not progress the way that I hoped they would.
I agree. You're playing with fire, going to second base, third base on a first date. I think a kiss on a first date is actually highly recommended because I find I'm a sexual beast. I think maybe more than most. I'm not like I'm trying to like pump myself up. I just happen to be quite sexual, I think. What? Why is that funny? But I think I actually am turned off by a girl if on the first date she's like scared to have a kiss. I think I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? Are you a little baby? So I think that's actually an issue.
I hope but you don't say that.
What's wrong with you, woman? No, I don't say that. But I think not kissing on a first date is actually a bad idea. So I think you're right. But it's like kissing and that's it on the first date and stop there. That is the sweet spot. On what to happen too soon, what should happen early. My second thought, when it's too late, this one gets a little bit hazier and we may actually disagree. I think between dates 6 and 8, if it doesn't go down, if you aren't getting nasty and knocking boots, that's a problem. Something's up.
That's the longest silence that's ever been on this show. I don't agree with that. You're right. I don't agree with you. I think that there is a period of time that you can wait and see what's happening now. I think in modern relationships, I think we're moving too fast. Everything is moving too fast now. Technology is moving too fast. Dating is moving too fast. And it's really impacting the way that we form bonds and the way that we're communicating. And so now I feel like people are going on their first, second, and third date, sometimes within the first week, when before, like, I didn't have a third date with my now husband until like week four or five. And I think when you're really forming a lasting partnership, you want to space out the interaction a little bit more. And so when you're seeing people 3 times in 1 week, you're developing that false sense of intimacy. And I think it still doesn't mean that you really know that person. So, I mean, I find that most relationships do fall within that first 8 dates range. But I don't think there's necessarily something wrong if it goes beyond that. Steve Harvey says to wait 3 months. I think that is longer than most people are willing to go, and not even just men. Like, I think that's a really long time. And actually, when I tell people, I have a rule. I actually say to my clients, they really shouldn't have sex if they're forming a lasting relationship before date 5. Date 5 and later, you're fine. But I think I kind of agree with you that there might be diminishing returns if you're waiting too long. But I actually get more pushback from women that I tell this to, the wait until date 5. I'm like, just wait, because it'll be magic. If you just wait and that sexual energy builds and then you wait until date 5 or date 6, that to me is like really the perfect sweet spot.
I trust Steve Harvey on this area about as much as I trust him announcing Miss America winners. But for me, it's between dates 2 and date 7, you should have sex. And there's a reason for me. If you don't have sex, if you're scared or not ready to have sex by date 7 or 8, there's basically two reasons. One is you're not healthy sexually, because if you are, you're going to want to knock boots. The other reason is, which is a problem for me, and which we're probably not a good fit if you're not healthy sexually. The other one is you're insecure and you're scared that if you do give up that cookie, I'm gonna run away because I already got that. I hit it and quit it. You don't have confidence in yourself that once we have sex, I'm still going to want you. Either one of those scenarios, I have high concern for. And that's why between date 2 and 7 is what I would recommend.
I would say, I think date 2 is a little soon. I think you're not necessarily going to screw it up, but again, the innuendo. But I think it's a little sooner than I would recommend, because the main thing for me is that you have to be at a point where, if you want to form a relationship, if you're just looking for a sexual relationship and you don't have that expectation, I don't really care when you have sex. But if you're looking for a relationship, you have to be at a point where you are able to talk about the consequences. STDs, what happens if someone gets pregnant, and all of those big, scary grown-up things that people just aren't talking about anymore, and instead they're just like dealing with it, I guess, on Textpert. Should I take the morning after pill? I don't really know. But I think you should be able to be in a place where you can discuss that with your partner. So that's all the advice we have for you today. There's lots more advice happening on Twitter and Instagram at Damona Hoffman. Also on Instagram, RayChristian_LA. And of course, on the Textpert app. So you can post your questions through the week and they could get answered on a future show. We love our fans so, so much. And we want to hear from you. So don't forget to subscribe to the show. Leave us a review on iTunes. Tell us what segments you love and we'll keep making more of them. Next week, we wish you happy dating. I'm Damona Hoffman. This is Ray Christian, and we'll see you next week.